Hey there, everyone. James Hilliard back with you, and joining all of us today is David Finn. David is the Health Information Technology Officer for Symantec. Healthcare organizations, they face cyber attacks. We know that. We know they face security breaches, and it seems like these things are growing in frequency and sophistication each and every day. What we want to do on this episode of Connection Point is have a discussion that would focus on some of the current security concerns in healthcare. So we'll do that, and we'll talk a little bit about what security pros are doing and can do to combat these cyber threats. So David, glad to have you on board. Appreciate you joining us. Let's start with ransomware attacks. They hit all verticals. They're hitting healthcare. It's on the rise is what I've seen. Can you, David, pinpoint kind of why now we're seeing an increase in these ransomware attacks?
Well, there's a couple reasons that ransomware is resurgent. The first thing I like to tell people is ransomware is not new. The modern ransomware really started in around 2005, but the very first ransomware was actually back in 1989, and it was transmitted on 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. But because so few people used personal computers and you knew a machine got infected and if it was on a floppy disk that you were taking somewhere, you could figure out not to use it. So it was not a very successful attempt at ransomware. But in 2005, we began seeing the modern versions of ransomware. And two types evolved. One was the computer locker. And what we're seeing today is, again, an evolutionary method is the data locker. And ransomware is coming back because in healthcare in particular, we're seeing it so effectively used because the industry has frankly lagged in building and developing security frameworks and security defenses that are effective against this. The other reason is the data is so critical to the operation. It's easy to put that kind of pressure on an organization. If a doctor's got a patient on the table and is looking at an X-ray or looking at images on the screen and all of a sudden that goes away, it's not like losing someone's lunch order. Someone may never eat lunch again if that data is locked up and taken away from a physician or a caregiver when they need it. And I think what we're seeing with the ransomware today is it really isn't a security issue. It's easy to say that a hospital paid the ransom in order to get their systems back or their data back, but that isn't really what happened. What really happened is they had to pay the ransom because they couldn't take care of their patients. And that's not an IT issue. That is a business issue. So we've got to get the business involved in these decision-making and strategies around security.
No, absolutely. And the table stakes are much higher within certain verticals, healthcare being one of those. Let's go back to 2005-ish. As an end user, there was word out there about ransomware, and the word was, hey, stay away from the gambling sites. Stay away from some of those other sites that you might not want to be visiting at work, right? That was what I remember people telling end users. Stay away from the dark side of the web and you'll be just fine. Is that true today? What can end users do, especially in the hospital setting, at the clinics, to prevent these types of attacks?
Well, unfortunately, as our technology on the good side of the line has matured and become more effective and faster, the bad guys are leveraging those same technologies, and they're smarter than they used to be. Things go faster. We have more people using this kind of technology, which is the first thing. But the battle for ransomware is really a battle at the endpoint. So there's a laundry list of things you need to do, but you really need to have done your risk assessment and know where your organization's threats and vulnerabilities really lie. Obviously, I mentioned the battle is at the endpoint, so the first thing you have to do is have good endpoint security solution, and that means it's installed and all the functionality is turned on, it's properly configured, and that it's maintained. You're taking the patches when they come and you're getting updates, because the story isn't just about virus definitions anymore. It's a lot more complicated. It's whitelisting and blacklisting a file. It's heuristics around file behaviors, how often we see a particular file. So first of all, it's good anti-malware, antivirus. The other thing, and I think it's the biggest thing organizations can do, is educate the end users. The bad guys have become very sophisticated. These are not brute force entries, breaking and entering kind of situations. At Hollywood Presbyterian, for example, every employee got an email that appeared to have an invoice attached, and when they clicked the invoice, they were launching the ransomware, so it spread very quickly. So you've got to educate end users, and this doesn't just apply in your business setting. Whatever you learn at work about avoiding ransomware and bad websites applies to your personal life and can be used at home as well. And then, of course, this is all coming in through email, these phishing attacks, targeted phishing attacks. So you want to have content scanning and filtering on your email system. Most providers have lots of legacy systems, so you have to keep the operating systems and the utilities on the endpoints, on servers, even on your storage, current and up to date. You're going to want to install and configure intrusion detection or prevention systems. You're going to want to limit end user access to map drives, just because the map drive is behind the firewall and you think everyone is good. You only want to give access where users need that access. You shouldn't be allowed to go where you don't need to go. And last but not least, a lot of discussion in the press around this is you have to have a good, robust, comprehensive backup system. And this is, I mentioned securing those storage systems as well, because they can become infected themselves. A lot of this new malware we're seeing actually looks for where backups are made. It can read the operating system and where stuff is going, and it will go find those backups and encrypt them or delete them, as well as the files that it originally targeted.
Not painting a pretty picture out there, but because of, again, the growth on the bad guys out there and how quickly they're evolving, we'll get into where we're evolving as, you know, CISOs and others in just a moment here. But let's go through the next two questions, maybe a little rapid fire here. Are there certain types of healthcare providers, David, that you see more susceptible to these types of attacks than others? Is it the small, you know, few doctors working in their own practice? Is it the large hospital setting? Is it a clinic that has a couple remote sites in the same city?
No one is immune. The bottom line here is, if you connect to the internet in any way, you can be attacked with these ransomware attacks, with phishing attacks. I've heard some security people in rural settings say, well, they're small, they're out in the middle of nowhere, no one cares about them. They still get the same attacks, they get hit. No one's immune from this. And today we all connect to the internet, and sometimes we don't even know we're connecting to the internet. We've got medical devices in the hospitals that are on the hospital's production network, and that all goes out to the internet at some point. We have, under stage two of meaningful use, this little thing called patient engagement, which means we're being encouraged to allow patients using their own devices to come back and access resources behind our firewall, to send emails to physicians. And we don't even know what's on those devices or what they are. So if they're infected and they're sending something back or connecting back to our resources, they become a new vector for infection.
All right, David, we've already said hackers one step ahead, whether it's our prevention strategies, just the education of end users, et cetera. Attacks are going to evolve. That, I think, is just a, yep, that's happening. So how are they going to evolve, if you have a crystal ball in front of you, and how can we prepare for that evolution?
Great question. And we know that the threat landscape is getting worse. No one would argue with that. So the threats are going to continue to evolve, and everyone's going to be attacked. Many of us will be breached or infected. And so what we have to do, and what healthcare hasn't done historically, is really adopt a standard framework. The NIST framework actually identifies five key areas for addressing cybersecurity threats, and they're identify, and that isn't identify the threats, that's identifying your data and the risks. Protect, so what safeguards do you have in place? Detecting, and that has been our historic focus. How do I know when a security event has happened? And they're getting better at avoiding detection, which means we really have to focus on the identity and protection. And then you have to build a response structure. You have to be able to respond when one of these events does happen, because it will happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And lastly, you have to be able to recover. And this is something healthcare's done pretty well at historically. They practice for airplane crashes and chemical spills. What we need to start rehearsing for, because they're much more likely than an airplane crash or a chemical spill, is a cyber event, a data breach, a ransomware attack. Those are the kind of things that hospitals should be practicing for today.
All right. So if that's what they need to be practicing, and that's some advice, then tell me this, CISOs, healthcare security pros, do you feel as a whole that group of people is in a good place today? Do we have a good team on the court to prepare to combat these cyber threats, or does that team need a little more practice as a whole?
In my experience, the IT people probably get the problem. The CIOs, the CISOs, the security people who are dealing with this on a daily basis understand the problem. This is an industry problem. And in fact, Symantec just did a survey with HIMSS Analytics, and what we found in that survey is that security in healthcare is understaffed, it's underfunded, and while they say it's important, they say it's a security is a strategic target, a strategic function of the business. What we find when we delve into that data and interview CISOs is the boards are not getting regular reports on security and what's going on. About 10% of them do regular reports to the board. And I can tell you from my own past experience, at every board meeting, the board got a financial report. At every board meeting, the board got a quality report. And that's because the finances and the quality of care is important to the board. It's key to the mission of the organization. Until they start understanding that security is just as important, we're not going to see those changes. And as I mentioned earlier, this really points to the fact that it's not just an IT security problem, it's a business issue. So CISOs need to partner up with the businesses and educate them about the impacts, and then together the business and security need to make decisions about what they'll rehearse for, what they'll fund, and how they'll move forward through a very dangerous world we live in right now.
And David, I'm going to really simplify things, but when dealing with security issues, it's not just technology, but it's people, process, technology.
There you go. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well then, David, that is where we will wrap things up. And based on our discussion today, folks, it definitely does seem, as David was alluding to and saying, it's not a matter of if a security breach is going to occur. It's a matter of when. And certainly security professionals and healthcare organizations really do need to be prepared. So again, David, thank you for being here. Appreciate you talking to all of us today about what security pros can do, what they're facing. I want everyone listening to know that PC Connection Inc.'s security practice and Symantec do offer solutions and services to counteract the increased risk proliferation. If you're interested in learning more about the solutions and the services that PC Connection, GovConnection, and More Direct can offer your organization, then I encourage you to visit pcconnection.com/health. Or if you want to pick up the telephone, you can do so 1-800-395-8685 is the phone number. Want to send an email? You can do so pretty easy. connect@pcconnection.com. With that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Connection Point. I want to thank you all for joining us. Again, my name is James Hilliard, and we do look forward to talking to you all down the road.